76 verses. Each verse mentions the law, the commandments, the statutes, the commands. All of them talking about our need to do as we are commanded to do in the Hebrew Scriptures. There were, I think, over 600 different commands to keep up with. And so that you didn't have to face that all by yourself, other people appointed themselves to make sure that you did it just exactly right and interpreted the law. You shall do no work on the Sabbath day. When does the Sabbath day start? When does it end? What is considered work? How much can you carry from one room to another? Can you carry a spoonful of salt? Oh, how big is a spoon? Is it sinful for a person whose hem of the garment is being repaired to walk from one room to another with a pin in the hem? There were cases of men divorcing their wives because she burned the bread. There were no cases of women divorcing their husband for any reason at all. Happy are they whose way is blameless, who observe his decrees, that keep his statutes, that regard all his commandments. And Jesus came in and said, you have heard that it was said, that you shall do no murder, that you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you, some works. Not all of this legalistic system that has been set up have to do with where your heart is. And that makes it even more difficult. My mom and dad had four children. I'm the third of those four children. Mom was, strict is not the right word, but very intentional about making sure that we wrote thank you letters at the appropriate moments. It used to be a big thing to write thank you letters for Christmas and for birthdays. I have a large family, lots of aunts and uncles all over everywhere. And when it was Christmas or birthdays, we just piled up the presents. It was great. It was great until a couple days later when Mom would come with some pieces of white typewriter paper, little thank you cards, just a piece of paper, and a pencil, and say, you need to write your thank you notes. She addressed all the envelopes, we didn't have to worry about that. So all I had to do was, in one of them, write a letter to your Aunt Jean. Thank her for the book. Dear Aunt Jean, thank you for the book. I will read it. Love, Keith. Dear Uncle Carl, thank you for the game. I will play it. Love, Keith. There were just a bunch of them. When it was all four of us together, it wasn't such a tedious chore because it was all four of us together. We made it into sort of a competition. If we get through this the first, we could have the best handwriting. I never won in either category. But when it was your birthday, man, you had to do it all by yourself. What a burden. What a terrible thing to ask a kid to do. And inevitably, whether it was birthday or Christmas, Mom would bring the paper, and I by myself, or I with my brother and both my sisters, we would all say, oh, Mom, do I have to? Because that's you know, my part of the game. You're required by some contract that I never saw to say, oh, do I have to? We're going to church, do I have to? It's time for the dentist, do I have to? Get up the time for school, do I have to? The answer was always yes, and we always ask the question, knowing full well that the answer would be yes. It's just our part of the conversation. But then came that terrible day When I was probably 12 or 13, and Mom came with some pieces of paper and a pencil. And I had to write my thank you notes all by myself. She gave me the paper, and I said, "Oh, Mom, do I have to?" And she said, "No, you ought to." Oh, man. Ought is even worse than have to. If I have to, I can blame the whole thing on you. It's not my fault that I have to do this. I have other things to do. But you ought to, like there's a way out. But you know, you never could really get out of it. We all grow up. We all grow up, and somewhere in there, take responsibility for ourselves. Mom used to tell us what to do, and we did it because it was Mom saying it, and because she convinced us that we had to. Sometimes, if I didn't understand why I had to, she would give me the universal Mom answer. I bet your mom said the same thing to you, because I said so. I promised myself I would never, ever, ever say that to our children. And of course I did, because that's the only answer sometimes. We all grow up, and part of growing up is determining that we do what we should do because we should do it, and not because somebody else is making us do it. You have heard that it was said, "We shall not commit adultery." But I care. It's worse than that. It has something to do with your intentions. It has to do with what you mean. It has something to do with how you treat people. Are people objects or are they actually people? It has to do with what is good for you and the other person. Received into the church. I trust and hope that nobody is making you be confirmed. But you step up to become more part of this congregation, more part of the Episcopal Church, that wonderful and sacred mystery, and more part of God's one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, universal and triumphant. Congregation gathers around these people to be part of the confirmation. I can't just ambush somebody and confirm them unaware. They have to be willing, and they have to be confirmed in a community of faithful people who stand up around those people being confirmed and received and say, "Here's what we believe." We'll go through the Apostles' Creed, the oldest creed in the church. And if you pay attention to what you say, and I know that's not always a given in our church, but if you pay attention to what you say, you may wonder what we mean by some of those things in the creed. You may wonder what the communion of saints is. You may wonder why we say that Jesus descended to the dead. You may wonder about what we say we believe, and I encourage that. It's good for us to wonder what we believe. After we get through the creed, I'll ask you 5 more questions. These are intensely personal questions, I think. Not about what the church teaches and not about what we say, but what we're going to do. Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, the breaking of bread and the prayers? Will you continue? Even if you get mad at somebody in the congregation, for a good reason, for another reason. Even if it's too hot in there, even if the bishop comes on Wednesday night instead of Sunday morning when he's supposed to, even if the organist plays too fast, even if it's too cold in there, even if some other bishop somewhere else does something or says something that is embarrassing to you at school or work, even if the organist plays too slow, will you continue to be a part of this part of the family of God? The answer is, I will without help. I think my main job is to go around church to church and say, you will have God's help. It's not like we're waiting for God to show up. The question is whether you are willing to offer yourself into that sort of love and that sort of service. Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord? Will you know that you've said something ugly or thought something mean or done something hurtful? Will you turn around away from yourself and turn to God and try to make it right? I will look back up. Will you proclaim the good news of the love of God and what you say and what you do? Not just David, your good deacon, or Lee, your good priest, or me, your bonehead bishop. Will you proclaim the good news? You have been given a great gift. So that you can share it with those who need it. Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons? All persons. That's a tough order. There are some persons not alive. There are some persons who have hurt me. There are some persons who pull for the wrong team, vote for the wrong candidate, don't think like I do, don't act like I do. Don't talk like I do. Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons? Loving your neighbor as yourself. Even if you don't get to choose your neighbors. We strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being. Every human being. And messes me up every time. And the answer is for all of us, I will be God's help. These are intensely personal questions because it asks about our intention. What do we mean to do? Who do we mean to serve? I think we are taught in the world around us that our obligation is to serve ourselves. That anything can be justified by if you make more money. Or we serve our family. Or we may serve our community. But all those other people are not like us. They can go and jump on it. Our intentions as Christians have to include more than ourselves. How can we seek and serve Christ in all persons? How can we respect the dignity of every human being? You have heard that it was said that you should love your neighbors, that you should love your family, that you should love your friends. But I tell you, it's worse than that. whether they retain it or not, whether there's anything in it for you or not. I tell you openly, that's hard for me. It's hard for me to love someone else before. And that's